today on Living on Every Word.
Jesus Christ has promised you and me a promised land, an abundant life. And the question is, will we believe God and act according to what God has called us to? When I look at this nature of faith, what seems so humanly impossible is made possible. And you see this in the life of Joshua.
Are you facing a seemingly impossible situation? Well, Joshua did. Yet by faith, he led the children of Israel into the promised land. Join us today as Pastor Mike Fritcher shares with us how we can overcome life's greatest challenges in part three of our study, The Impact of Faith.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We are looking at how faith impacts life, every area of life. And we've been looking at men of faith from chapter 11 and how faith triumphs and how faith conquers and how faith will impact your life. This morning, I want us to look at the life of Joshua. I want to spring from verse 30 where it says in chapter 11, verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been circled for 7 days. When I think of Jericho, I think of Joshua, the leader Joshua, the one who would bring not the people out of bondage because Moses already did that, but a man that would bring by faith a people into a promised land, the abundant life, the life that God called them to live 40 years before. Joshua, who by faith saw the promises of God and embraced the promises of God. Joshua, who saw the walls of Jericho fall down. And I tell you, there are walls in our life that need to come down. Walls that we think are so big that you can't penetrate them. Walls, perhaps, of lust or bitterness or anger. Walls of pride and arrogance. Walls of insecurity and inferiority. Walls of fear and worry and anxiety. Walls that need to come down in your life and in my life. This is the promise of God. There is a promised land for the believer. There is an abundant life that God has called us to consistently live. Not live for a few days or a few weeks or a few months or even a couple of years, but a life that is consistently lining up to the Word of God. You look at this passage of Scripture and you see that faith will lead you to live an extraordinary life. That's just the bottom line. An extraordinary life. An extraordinary life is not living life in the political scene. It is not living in Hollywood. It is not living on Wall Street. It's not even making a grand living. An extraordinary life is a life that impacts nations. It impacts lives for the glory of God. And there may be some of you today that you think of your life and you think, I don't live an extraordinary life. Matter of fact, I look past my life and I say, what is my life all about? I look at my life in the corporate world. I look at my life in my career, and I say, what kind of life have I lived? Well, I'll tell you, if you live by faith, it doesn't matter what you do. And it doesn't matter how much your wages are. When you live by faith, you live an extraordinary life. When I look at this verse of Scripture in verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And I just want you to know that when I think about the walls of Jericho, I see an insurmountable, big, huge obstacle in the way. When God says to the children of Israel, this is your land, the question is will they believe God in the midst of the insurmountable obstacles according to the flesh? Jesus Christ comes as Joshua came many thousands of years ago to bring deliverance, but to bring you to a place of victory, of life, of faith. And the question we ask is, are you living that today? Are you seeing the walls of sin and strongholds tumbling down? Because Jesus Christ has promised you and me a promised land, an abundant life. And the question is, will we believe God and act according to what God has called us to? When I look at this nature of faith, as I embrace the promise of God and I walk in obedience, what seems so humanly impossible is made possible. The humanly foolish things become the very wise actions of God. And you see this when the walls of Jericho come down. You see this in the life of Joshua. Now, I want you to turn to Numbers 13 and 14. I want us to look at the context of the walls of Jericho falling down. Chapter 13 and 14. The context is 40 years before Moses has delivered the people from bondage from Egypt, and now they have this great opportunity to go from Egypt into the promised land. I tell you, you have a great opportunity when you come to Christ to get out of Egypt, to get out of bondage, and go straight into the promised land that God's promised. 3-4 days journey. Not very far. And so the plan is that Moses has led them out, and Moses has sent 12 spies to spy out the land. Now, God's been telling them two things. One, this land is yours, and it's an exceedingly fruitful land. It's a wonderful land. It's yours, and it's yours for the picking. You just go in and take it. That's all that he's told them to do. That's all that he has shared with them. And so when these spies come back after 40 days of spying out the land, verse 27 of chapter 13, thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." Yeah, God's right. They were repeating God's word. God's word said that this land is flowing with milk and honey, and its fruit is exceedingly great. God said it, they went out, they saw it, and they came back, and they repeated the word of God to a point. Because here's the fruit, here's the land. God said that it's ours, and God said it's fruitful. And God said it's fruitful, and he's right, it is fruitful. Look at its fruit, it's wonderful. But they say in verse 28, nevertheless, let's see, unbelief. Unbelief, doubt. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, they're living in the hill country. The Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. By this time, there's a stir in the crowd, and Caleb quiets the people and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against these people. They're too strong for us. There's too many obstacles." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone and spied out is a land that devours its inhabitants and all the people whom we saw in it are great size. We saw the Nephilim and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight." And so we were in their sight. I'll tell you this. You can either believe God's word or you can concentrate on the obstacles to the promised land, to being conformed into the image of Jesus, to walking this life out. And you can take and look at those obstacles and you can look at that sin and those things and you can say, "You know, there's just no way that I can ever, ever overcome that." And you know what? You'll say that and you won't overcome it. You won't overcome it. God has come with promises that are so wonderful, but somehow we can't see past the sensual. We can't see past the sight. We look at the obstacles and we say, like the children of Israel now, "There's just no way. Can't live the Christian life." And so what we do is we don't live the Christian life, and the world looks at us and says, "Hypocrite. They say one thing and they do another. My gosh, these things ought not be." Because of the word of God and the promise of his spirit and the promise of power and the promise of his word and the promise of the body and the promise of giftedness, the promise of grace, we can go on and on and see what God has called us to and how he's equipped us. And as I've been walking through this study and praying and looking at circumstances of the past couple of months, I think, listen, we need to say yes to God. And forget about the obstacles and forget about the humanly impossible things that stand before us and believe the promise of God and move forward. And what's happening in Numbers 13 is they're not going to move forward. Caleb speaks up and he said, "We should go. Let's take possession of it," in verse 30. "We're going to overcome it." But these guys give out a bad report and say, no, our God is not big enough to do this. And so the scripture says that they rebel. The children of Israel rebel. And do you know what rebellion is? Rebellion is just simply not believing the promises of God and walking in disobedience. They're faithless. And so what the scripture says is that the congregation, they lift up their voices and they cried, and the people wept all night. And all the sons of Israel, they grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And this is what they said: would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword? Is that why God's leading us? God is bringing us up out of Egypt through the wilderness for these past few days, and now He's bringing us in the promised land to kill us. What kind of faith is that? I'll tell you this, we had the same kind of junk that we deal with in our own minds, and we think God's out to get us, or we think God's out to punish us, or we think God's out to kill us. And we jump to all kinds of conclusions, don't we? And so they jump to a conclusion. Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us appoint a leader then and return to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land. They tore their clothes and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel. And they said this, they said what God said: the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord is pleased with us. And how is God pleased with you? By your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If the Lord is pleased with us, if you will believe, God will be pleased with us. If we will believe the promise, if we will believe what God says, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only watch this. Do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Watch this. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. The protection is removed. We can go in and take this land. That is the faith of Joshua. 40 years old. Here's this man who has heard the voice of God, this man who has seen the faith of Moses, who understands what Moses understands, who sees what Moses sees, and he's ready to go. He's ready to move forward. But they don't go forward. But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. We're not moving another inch. We like it just the way it is in the wilderness, because our fears are telling us if we leave what has been comfortable for us and we are stretched to go to the promised land and we see all these obstacles and we see all these people and we see all these words that come against us, and there's just no way that I could ever, ever, ever conquer. I'll just stay right here and keep eating this manna. They came straight up to the River Jordan and said, nope, we're not going any farther than this. Because those obstacles out there, they're too big for us. And we are too small. We are not gifted enough. We don't have enough weapons. We don't have enough maturity. Listen, all God wants you to do is believe Him and obey Him. And that'll be enough. That'll be enough. Hear the word, believe, and obey our God. Don't rebel, Joshua says. You know what God says this time? All right. You want to stay in the wilderness? You stay in the wilderness. Matter of fact, you say no to me, and you will be in the wilderness. You say no to me, and you will be fruitless. You want to walk this way? You want to walk in rebellion? You want to say no to me? Then these are the consequences. 40 years of walking in the wilderness. Think about Joshua. Think about his faith. They said no that day, and so for 40 years, he's got to watch the people die. All the men of war die. Until one day, God comes along and calls Joshua. Joshua's faith embraced the promise of God 40 years before at this Jordan. And what he did was, he did a couple of things that I believe led him to an extraordinary life. First of all, he trusted God and His word. Joshua trusted God and he trusted the word of God. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Watch this. And turn away from evil. What is evil in this context? Evil is not believing God. It's walking in disobedience. Joshua trusted God and his word. Second, Joshua sought first the kingdom of God while taking his eyes off the impossible obstacles. That's what he did. Nothing would be impossible to take this land. Nothing would be impossible to live the abundant life. Nothing would. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 32, and you don't need to turn there, but he says to them that they must seek first the kingdom of God. He said, listen, don't worry about life. Don't worry about the things around you. Don't worry about the things that you see and touch and feel. But seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you. But he says something very significant in verse 32 of Luke chapter 12. He says, do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Wow. Will I believe that today? Well, I believe that God has chosen to give to me, to you, to my marriage, to my children, to my family, to our church, the kingdom of God. Don't be afraid of the obstacles. Don't be afraid of the strongholds. Don't be afraid of your lack of, quote, talent or lack of giftedness. Don't be afraid, little flock. I've chosen gladly to give you the kingdom of God. Joshua had this kind of faith that sought first the kingdom while he took the eyes off the impossible obstacles, where the other 10 saw impossibilities, where they saw that there's no way through these circumstances. Joshua saw something different. He saw the word of God and he sought the word. He sought the kingdom and then he would obey God no matter what. Joshua had this kind of faith 40 years before. And now 40 years later, God has come to him. And I want you to look at that 40 years later. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. The call of Joshua. This extraordinary man who would see kingdoms fall, who would see the walls of Jericho fall by his charge and by his leadership. 40 years later, everybody's died out. They're dead. And it comes about that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel, every place on which the sole of your foot treads. I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, which will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful, watch this, to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I got a job for you, Joshua, and it's extraordinary. And here are the promises. Just walk and it's yours. Just put the sole of your foot and it's yours. What is that? That is faith. It's faith to take my foot and to put it one step farther into a place that may seem a little uncomfortable to me, that might stretch me a little bit, that might cause me to fear or to worry. But I know that in my own strength, I can never accomplish what God's telling me to accomplish. So I believe it and I put my step there. And I go and I walk in obedience. Joshua hears the word again. He hears the word 40 years later. He has this call, and this call means one thing to him. It means that I will obey God. I will believe God, and I will walk this walk. He's given me his word. I believe this word, and this word will be obeyed. Notice a couple of things about what he says. Listen, Joshua, no one's going to be able to stand before you. I love that. What does that mean? means anybody who comes against you will not remain standing. What that means is that when the enemy comes against you, whether it's a temptation, whether it's with depression, whether it's with hopelessness, whether it's with just any kind of sin, the Bible is saying to Joshua, whatever comes against you will not stand before you. It will fall. You won't fall. It will fall. Well, I believe that today. Oh, well, I walk in fear. That's why he says it a number of times. Don't be dismayed. Don't be doubtful. Be courageous. Be strong. Listen, get in the Word of God. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be able to do according to it. And when you do according to it, you will find success. So you meditate on it and you think about it. And he says, so that when the time comes, the command is made or the situation you find that you're in, you've been meditating on it. And when it comes, you're able to obey and do what's written in the Word. And that's what he tells Joshua. Listen, meditate on the Word. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't tremble. Don't be dismayed, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What a word. And Joshua just believes it. Notice in verse 10, no ifs, no ands, no buts. Just verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp, command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you're going to cross this Jordan, and you're going to go in, and you're going to possess this land, which the Lord your God has given you to possess it. And you know what they do? They say, okay, let's go. Let's go, let's do it. They don't take 3 days off. They don't take a month off to contemplate. They don't form a committee and they say, is this what we're supposed to do? No, God has said it. We're going to do it. And Joshua says yes to God and he moves immediately. And they go straight to Jericho. And you know, it's interesting, because when Joshua obeys and he speaks life into the children of Israel, they are ready to go. I want to ask you, are you ready to move on? Are you ready to move on with God? Are you ready to see your life impacted, as your family impacted, your descendants impacted, nations impacted, as we talked about last week? Nations of people impacted because of a faith that moves on with God, that gets rid of selfishness and gets rid of pride and gets rid of greed and comfort and says, God, we will be what you want us to be. We'll speak what you want us to speak. And I want to ask you, are you ready to move on? Joshua says, let's go possess it. And they say, okay. And they go. They go to possess it and they move. I don't know about you, but I think if 40 years in the wilderness, watching my mamas and my daddies and my grandpas and my uncles and my aunts dying, I don't know about you, but I don't say, you know what, I want to choose life this time. By the way, you'll notice that when they make this choice, the manna stops. No more manna from heaven. No more manna, no more food from heaven. Why? Because listen, there's no more food in the wilderness. You made a choice, manna stopped, the food is over there. The food is over there now. Your sustenance is over there. That's your home. It's no longer your home for 40 years. You've said yes to him. The manna has stopped. And guess what? You're going to go eat fruit, and you're going to go eat dates, and you're going to go eat the milk and the honey of this land, because this wilderness is going to, you're going to cross it. If you'll walk in obedience, you'll conquer. You'll conquer the sin. You'll conquer the junk. You'll conquer the past. You'll conquer the depression. You'll conquer the enemy because of the faith that you're possessing. And by this kind of faith that Joshua possesses, we'll see the walls of Jericho come tumbling down in a few short days. If you'll go to Joshua chapter 6, you'll notice this story. Chapter 6, verse 1. First stop, Jericho. I tell you, very impressive city. Walls around it. People in it, warriors in it, weapons, big men, valiant warriors. And so Jericho is tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and valiant warriors. Now, this is what you're going to do. You're going to march around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once. And you're going to do this for 6 days. And also 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And this is what's going to happen. The wall of the city is going to fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead. In other words, you're going to plunder this city when this wall falls. Now, this doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to you. It probably didn't make sense to them. I mean, but that's what God said. God said, listen, you want to win this victory? Go to the city, march around it once for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, blow the horn, shout, walls are going to come tumbling down. You're going to win this great victory. What a great promise. What a great and mighty promise. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, you go forward and you march around the city and let the armed men go on before the ark of the Lord. And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went before forward and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while they continued to blow trumpets. But Joshua commanded the people, now watch this. He says, you shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let one word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you, shout. Then you shall shout. You know what our tendency is? Our tendency is to not shut our trap, but keep it going. You don't say a word. I believe that's why he says it. So these folks, they go to Jericho and they go around the city one time and they start complaining and grumbling. We're tired. We're thirsty. We're hungry. What are we doing this for? This seems so impossible. You know, God says, you shut your mouth. I don't want nothing coming out of your mouth. For 6 days when you circle, I don't want you complaining. I don't want you praising. I don't want you doing anything. I don't want to take any chances of somebody deciding they're going to speak negative, speak in such a way that brings discouragement. So listen, all of you just shut up. Be quiet. And watch me work. Can you imagine doing that for 6 days? I can't imagine doing that for 6 days. I mean, Jericho's a pretty big city. It's fortified. And God's saying something that seems more impossible than the walls coming down. Don't talk. Be quiet. Do you know they obey God? They're quiet for 6 days. Seventh day, they don't march once, they march seven times. And at the given moment, Joshua says, shout. And they shout, and those walls come tumbling down. Joshua says, okay, now you can speak. Now you can praise. Now you can shout. Now you can blow your horn. And when they do that, this victory is won. A couple of things. Why do we let the obstacles, the impossible things, the impenetrable fortresses grip us with fear and worry and anxiety, and we feel like we've got to do it on our own, when God's saying, listen, I want to walk with you. I want to be with you. God gives a command, you walk in it. You walk in it. You trust Him. They trust it. Joshua trusted. Joshua commanded the authority of faith that spoke into people's lives, and so that the word came and the word was given and the word was believed. Did it 40 years before, now he's doing it 40 years later. He does it when God says, go into the wilderness, and the nation says no. He does it at the call of God, when God calls him, and then he does it here. A number of days later, when they face Jericho, this city that is tightly shut, that is fortified, and it falls down. Folks, whether it's a wall of self or it's a wall of lust, when I seek the things of the flesh to satisfy when only God can satisfy, or the wall of bitterness when I fail to reflect God through forgiveness with a non-critical, non-judgmental spirit, when I have this wall of greed, when I worry about my finances, and when I'm troubled by them, and when I worry, I walk in fear, or I grumble. These are walls of my life that must fall down. And when I trust God with my life and my times, and I hear it, believe it, and obey it, whatever the wall is in your life, it will come tumbling down. It will come tumbling down. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that?
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas.
If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org.